In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
God spoke through the prophet Zechariah, saying, "Your fasting periods shall be joy and gladness. Indeed, they shall be cheerful feasts." This passage, this proclamation, the church actually selects to be read this past Friday, the Friday immediately preceding the preeminent fast of Great Lent. "Your fasting periods shall be joy and gladness. Indeed, they shall be cheerful feasts." And then in the next verse it says, "Because they shall be authentic and they shall make for peace." It is these qualities of authenticity and peace that allow our fasting season of Great Lent to be a season of joy and gladness, for a fasting season to indeed be in itself a cheerful feast. Among the many ways we make peace is to come clean before God and to reconcile the best we can with our neighbor, and then to do so in a truthful and authentic way. One of the themes of this Forgiveness Sunday that the church gives to us, one of the themes is the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. It's their dismissal from the Garden of Eden. And the church doesn't give us this theme to be dour or to pick on them for their failings. We all have, as it were, an Adam and Eve inside of each of us. The purpose of commemorating the expulsion of our first father and mother is so we remember where we came from. So we remember paradise, so that we remember communion with God is our natural state. So we remember our true home. And this remembrance allows us then to see the path homeward. If we remember where home is, then wherever we are, we can start to see our path homeward. And the path homeward then is what makes this fast full of joy and full of gladness, because we're reorienting to the divine light, to divine communion. So let's go back and remember. Adam and Eve are breathed life by the divine breath, by the divine spirit. And they're given this life in paradise, which has at its core communion with God, communion with each other, communion with nature, with the beautiful creation. And we know what happens. Famous story. The serpent comes along and lures our two ancestors into turning away from the love and comfort of God and attempting to seize glory for themselves. And when they disobey, it says, their eyes are opened. Their eyes were opened. And for the first time in their lives, they're filled with this horrible feeling they don't understand called shame. Shame. They're suddenly ashamed of their beautiful bodies, and they make clothes out of leaves. They're suddenly ashamed of their wounded souls, so they hide. They're seized by shame of both body and soul. Now God comes to reconcile with them over their disobedience. And as is customary to the divine will, God goes to them. God seeks them out. God is the seeker. God is proactive. God goes down into the garden and calls out, "Where are you? Where are you, my children?" And of course, not that God doesn't know. It's a way of giving them a chance to take the first step of repentance. That's God's question to each of us when we're off the mark. Where are you? Take a look. Take a look where you are. And so Adam says to God, when God asks, "Where are you?" "We heard you in the garden, and we hid because we were naked." Which isn't exactly true. They weren't physically naked at all, not at this point. Remember, they had just made clothes for themselves out of leaves. This nakedness Adam mentions is actually shame. It's shame. It's that feeling of, I just want to sink into the floor. That's what Adam is feeling. And so God gives each one the chance of a lifetime. by asking, did you eat from the fruit of the tree I told you not to eat from it? Now, every kindergartner in the world knows what Adam should say at this point, right? What should he say? He should fess up and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Two simple words, I'm sorry. And every man who's been married at least 3 days knows the last thing that Adam should do, which is to throw his wife under the bus. But that's exactly what Adam does do. It's Eve's fault. And God, you put her here, so really, it's your fault. So God turns to Eve to let her save the day. But instead of apologizing, snake, not my fault. Serpent, you put the serpent here. What was I going to do? It's really important that it's not for disobedience that Adam and Eve are expelled from paradise. After they disobey, you notice they're still in the garden. They're still there. They still have access to all the luxury of Eden, of paradise. God gives them a second chance, but they're expelled when they refuse that chance, when they refuse to repent, when they refuse to authentically say those magic words, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. And this is condemnation. It's not that original sin that they committed. It's the refusal to make peace through apologizing, through reconciliation. You know, last week we heard the parable of the last judgment. And this is true of all parables in which someone at the end of the parable is condemned. Everyone that Jesus tells. Those goats in the story of the last judgment, those goats who are merciless toward the underprivileged, And toward those in need, those goats, they never say sorry at the end. Not one condemned person in any of our Savior's parables ever says sorry. Not a one. Never. You can't imagine God condemning someone going, sorry, 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 receive me. That doesn't happen. The only ones condemned are those that don't say, I was wrong. Grace is offered by God before we even miss the mark. God is already extending the hand of reconciliation before we're even aware we're off the mark. And that's why Jesus first says, where are you? It's so we can see that we're off the mark. It's already grace is happening. God is already giving us a chance to locate what we've done and how far we've fallen. This is the hand of grace. And then after Christ says, where are you? Then he says, what happened? What happened? And the path to peace is through an authentic apology that acknowledges, I was wrong. Now, saying sorry doesn't come easy to everyone. For some people, and this is true of both children and adults, apologizing is so hard, so hard. And even if it's not terribly hard for somebody, it's always a little awkward, pretty much for everyone. It's always awkward to go to someone and say, I'm sorry. And this is for a variety of reasons, everything from temperament to upbringing to just the fact that that's how we are as people in this fallen world. But the core resistance is because saying sorry evokes that alien feeling of shame. And it's a feeling that we were not originally created to ever experience. It only comes from disobedience. Which means, of course, that saying sorry is also the cure for shame. It's the cure for shame. Apologizing casts out that alien shame and restores us to immediate grace. Immediate grace. And all of this brings us back to the prophet Zechariah, who declared, our fasting periods shall be joy and gladness. They shall be cheerful feasts, because they are God extending the hand of grace, God calling us home, God asking us to remember how beautiful home is in paradise, with the divine light, surrounded by, infused with divine love. That is paradise. And that is the path of a fasting period. And that is why this one is a cheerful feast. Amen.